Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Good evening. Welcome to our Facebook Live broadcast from Oikos Ministry. I'm your host, Terrell Hebert. We go live every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, so we're glad you're joining us. And if you're not joining us live, we also have this archived on our website at www.housechurchesusa.com. You can go through there. It has lots of messages on there that I feel will edify you, help you to grow in the Lord and your relationship with Jesus. And so we really love doing this. The Bible talks about their sound went out to all the earth. And suddenly there was a sound as a rushing mighty wind. I'm thankful for digital media these days that allows folks to get out there and let the sound be magnified and amplified throughout the earth. And so last week we started a brand new series called The Gifts of the Spirit. And so we're in 1 Corinthians and in the 12th chapter. And if I could, there's several, 3 and 4 chapter passages in the Bible that make these great texts. And this is one of them. The text or the context of this starts in chapter 11 and goes all the way through chapter 14 and really by extension through chapter 15. It's a really powerful, powerful passage. I want to read it in its entirety before we start here. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And so as we look at this context, and that's what we did last week, we put this passage into a context, and by one Spirit, you were baptized into one body. And so we're seeing the gifts of the Spirit introduced to the church in the context of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ. Now, when we say baptism, usually everyone's mind goes to water. Well, I was water baptized. Well, that's symbolic. What we have to deal with is the actual baptisms in the Scripture. And one of those actual baptisms is the immersion into body life, into the body of Christ. That God, the Holy Spirit immerses us into a life that is interdependent with other believers. Now, we covered all that last week. I'm not going to go back through it again. If you want to hear it, go back and look at it in the archives as part one of the gifts of the Spirit. But as we deal with that and unfold this tonight, I want to go right back to the first verse and look what it says. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And so in that verse, we covered this last week, but I want to expound on it this week. It says concerning spiritual. If you look at your Bible carefully, the word gifts is in italics. That means that word gifts was added. It was not in the original languages, and it's not. The word there is pneumaticos. And so when we think about this pneuma, the working of the Spirit. And so he says concerning spirituals. And so it's the idea that it's given not to soulish and not to carnal. I mean, it literally means non-carnal. That's what that word would mean. It is spiritual. And when we think about, it's more than just a soulish thing. It's literally a life that is governed. You're filled with and governed by the Holy Spirit, almost a possession of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm enlarging on this because, look, we just did a long series on strongholds and the idea of demonic possession and the demon spirit inhabiting the life of a person and tormenting them. We've just gone through that, had powerful results with that, still getting good feedback about that series. And so when we look at this idea, then now if we're going to be free from the demonic, then we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about spirituals. The Apostle John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Bible says that we are to worship God, and He's a Spirit, and we must worship in spirit and truth. And I want to tell you, I think most of what we do today is soulish and not spiritual. And worse than that, sometimes most of it is just flesh-driven, even in churches, flesh and soul. And so the idea of just dealing with the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, or dealing with the flesh, I mean, even the carnal delights, dealing with sensual pleasure, even in church, carnal and worldly things, and that's what carnal means, worldliness. When we deal with the idea of spirit, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so this idea, there's a condition in life where we're in the Spirit. And to be out of the soulish existence, the soulish realm, out of the fleshly realm, and given to the realm of the Spirit, that we are in a communion with the Holy Spirit. A detachment, if you would, from worldliness, to where we're having this continual prayer with the Holy Spirit, or dialogue with the Holy Spirit. And when you think about this is when Paul says, pray without ceasing. To me, that would be the answer to that, or the understanding of that. To pray without ceasing is an uninterrupted communion with the Holy Spirit, where continually the delight in your heart is the meditations of your heart, is you're communing with God all the time. That's the wonder of the kingdom of God. Christ is in us. He's dwelling inside of us. So concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, it's no wonder today that most church is dealing with soulish. We sing songs to move the emotions. They're not spiritual. Now, we may sing a spiritual song from time to time, but most people, oh, I love that song. Man, the music sure wasn't any good. I wish they'd sing the old hymns. I want the contemporary. And everybody's, it's basically soulish delights. It's our soulish affinities. I want some kind of music set. Or I like this preacher. I don't like that kind of preaching. I like this kind of preaching. Again, these are soulish delights. These are not spiritual conditions here. When we get in the Spirit, that means we are literally in tune with the Holy Spirit. We pretty much drowned it out, and all other noise of worldliness is gone, and we're in tune with what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about spirituals, but apparently we are. And then he says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb or mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And so only an idol worshiper could use the Lord's name in vain. Only. The only way a person can use the Lord's name in vain is if you are worshiping an idol. And so this would be an unconverted. And you say, well, I'm a Christian, and sometimes I slip. I'm telling you, there is some idolatry in your heart. I don't agree with John Calvin much, but one thing Calvin says that I agree with, and he said, the human heart is a continual idol factory. It constantly making new idols. And I have to agree with that statement. It's just tremendous of how given we are to idolatry. And the Apostle John ends his letter, little children, keep yourself from idols. We should really understand how many of us are given to an idolatry of some sort. As a matter of fact, turn with me to Psalm, let's go to 135. Psalm 135. Uh, In verse 15, it says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold. Look at there. The work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Look at there. Would you see that? He gives a definition of idolatry here, and he goes into the conditions that follow idolatry. And when the Apostle Paul says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away with dumb idols. Look at this. Idols are things that they're the work of men's hands. They were silver and gold, but I think so many people worship money today, it's not a far stretch to say that there's an idolatry involved with finance itself. And so it says, but they have eyes, but they cannot see, ears they cannot hear, mouths they cannot speak, neither is there any breath in them. And those who make them, look at that, are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. So it's not just the idol maker, but the idol worshiper literally becomes a lifeless human being, a dead man walking, if you would. You know that you were Gentiles led about by a dumb idol. Now, last week, I made the point that most of us were raised in Christian churches. We have that Christian denomination on the logos outside, or on the placard or the sign, or the denominational headquarters. But literally, the churches are dead. They're literally void of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this in. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I want to put this in there and inject it. There are large groups of people today that say the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. We call that cessationists. They do not believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. This is a problematic thing, and many people buy into that thought. And it's the arguments are so flimsy, they're so empty. In the age of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to put this here. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. For the first 2,000 years of earth, God dealt directly with man. From Adam to Noah, God dealt with man. From Abram to Christ, God dealt with man through the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus had direct dealings with man. And from Pentecost till now, God has dealt with man through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so each person of the Godhead has dealt directly with man. This is the Holy Spirit's time. This is the great time called the kingdom of God. Do you think when the Holy Spirit has it's his turn now, that we would not have any gifts of the Spirit? It doesn't make any sense that we would, unless you're a devil, that it make any sense to hamstring the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believer. It doesn't make any sense at all. And so I've heard some of the arguments, and they're so flimsy. I can't believe someone with Bible knowledge would try to actually make that argument. Keep with me. In verse 4, now, last point now on this idea of idolatry. No one can, only a demon worshiper could curse in the name of Jesus, or curse the name of Jesus. So understand that. If you're flinging around the name of God and the name of Jesus around and taking their name in vain, I can promise you the Holy Spirit's not in it. You might know things about God, but you have literally put the Holy Spirit out of your life. That's a fact. And no one can call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit. This is a true testimony from me personally. I was in my sins. I remember I was on a job one day, and some believers were together, and I was overhearing them. They had this joy. I mean, they were just laughing and just so happy. And he said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I heard that guy say that. I had no knowledge of this verse. And I said, there is no way I could say that. Now, if there was ever an honest thought going on inside of me, I could not have confessed that name at that time. And I knew it. I knew all about Jesus, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way I could have confessed him because of my sin. And we should take that into account. This is a picture of idolatry. And I want to tell you, there's many people who go to churches that bear the name of Christianity, and you're in nothing more than a dead idol worshiping, dead religion. Stay with me. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. Now, that's a little phrase that God works all in all. And it takes the forefront of our thinking tonight. And so if we look at this idea that God works all in all, and so God works all these things in all the believers. And so when we see that Jesus has ministry gifts, we went over that last week in Ephesians. We're going to talk about a few things of that in just a minute. The Holy Spirit has ministry gifts, and also they both do the same, but it is God who works all in all. Let me show you another use of that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians 15, remember this context keeps going, 12, 13, 14, and I believe even into 15. Let me see here. And let's look at verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so even in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those that are Christ that is coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God. when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, this phrase isn't used but twice that I know of, that God being all in all. And when we think about the working of God, that's what this is about. The gifts of the Spirit fall under the heading of the work of God. And when we consider that the redemption of mankind, that's what we went over last week, that all the redemption of mankind is the work of God, and that when we deal with the idea of the work of God and that God is putting gifts in men to teach others, to help others to come into this revelation of the redemption of all mankind, to get the new birth. Remember, God the Father. The Father is absolutely bent on birthing new sons and daughters. That's what makes him Father. He's the birthing God, that he's birthing things into the kingdom. And so the ministry of Christ is to help his followers to help his followers. And the ministry of the Spirit is to help those followers be built up. We're going to get to this now. Stay with it. But that God worketh all in all. So all the things of the church, all these things pertinent to the church, the giftings of God are working all to all the believers. God's really wanting the believer to profit in spirituals. He wants a spiritual believer, not a soulish man, a spiritual man. That does not negate the work of the soul. What it does is let the soul be subject to the Spirit, not vice versa. It's literally, the soul is literally being used now to the reasoning faculties of the Word of God, to the feelings of the Word of God, the senses of the Word of God. And that literally from there we get the revealing and the eyes of the understanding, the real heart of man filled with the Spirit of God, literally that we become that pneumaticos, the spiritual man. Stay with it. And God works all in all. So we saw that last week, the distinction of these gifts, that the Spirit has gifts, Jesus has gifts, the Father has gifts. And that's what we want to go to tonight. We look at these a little closer right now. And so the diversities of the gifts, and I promise you, we're going to get to them eventually, but that's what this context is all about, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to see now is that God's gifting is working all in all, that there are diversities of works, but it is God who works all in all. God is working in the hearts and minds of men to get His will accomplished, that sons and daughters would be birthed into His kingdom. So let's look at a few things here, and we're going to get to our point tonight. I believe the word that we want to deal with is called oikodomeo, edification. That's the word, edification. And there are numerous English renderings of various root words and tenses of that. But we'll deal with, first off, the idea of edify, edifying, edification, and edified, past tense. But the whole idea is that it says oikodomeo. Oiko is house, oikos, house, and domeo, builder, to build the house. That's the whole picture of this. Now, remember, I'm talking to you about context tonight. So let's start in the gifts of the Spirit in the context. I want you to see something. Look at, now remember, it goes from chapter 12. Let's look at the very last verses of chapter 12, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has, now remember, there's a collective, that's the body, but it has individual members. But they're interdependent on one another, not codependent, not independent, interdependent on one another. We absolutely need each other to manifest the fullness of Christ in a house church. Now watch. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Now, I want to stop right there. I want you to notice this. Are these gifts the most important people? First apostles, then prophets. Are they the most important people in the body? To hear the traditional churches speak, you would think nobody's more important than an apostle. Nobody's more important than a prophet. Nobody's more important than the pastor. That's how we even introduce churches now. It's about, we're going to name that name, okay? Now, let me tell you something. He is not giving us some order of importance here. What He's given is an order of function. We're building the body of Christ. And the order of function starts with the apostolic foundation. Apostles and prophets lay the foundation of Christ. Now, look what happens. Second, prophets come in. Third, teachers, which would fall under the category of pastors and teachers. Now, that's the gifting ministry of Jesus. Now, look at that functionality. Apostles, prophet, teachers. Now, I'm building a house right now for ourselves. I've built a lot of houses in my life, but I'm going to tell you something. When you build a house, there's an order of building, and you have to do things in order. We do not put rafters on the dirt. We put them after the walls are erected, and we come back with rafters. And so we don't put the roof on first. We don't paint the air. We paint afterwards. It's the building processes. And so when we get to this issue of functionality, first apostles, then prophets, third teachers, which would fall pastors and teachers, look what comes next. Do you see that? Miracles and healings. What? You wonder where miracles and healings went? If we get the order of building back together, you see, the apostle and prophet have been almost eliminated from everything. Personally, really, if you get out to it, right now, all we have is pastors. And now the names have been changed since the 90s, and it was literally about who funnels in the most money. If you called yourself prophet, more money came. If you called yourself the bishop, more money came. Apostle, more money came. And so you wanted to make sure your title correlated with the most money. That's, you know, it's cheap, but that's how it is. And it's not the church, folks. This isn't God's kingdom. That is literally a worldly enterprise called the Whore of Babylon. And you say, well, I'm not no Whore of Babylon. Well, let me tell you, the mother of harlots, I want to tell you, so many of your churches are literally the offspring daughters of the whore. And that's what they are. You can't shake that. Now, you say, well, you should never talk about it. Well, folks, the Bible talks plenty about it. I can't help but say what the Scripture says. Now, stay with it. Stay with this. If you wonder where gifts of healings and miracles went, let's get to the function. If we eliminate the proper foundations, if the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? My Bible says, do not remove the ancient landmark. And so when we begin to shift this in the idea of let's do the pragmatic principles that the end justifies the mean, it's mere humanism, and we do anything to get church growth. And so we pull people in, and literally they're unredeemed, they're carnal people, they just have bought into our current flavor of the month mousetrap, and they come there, oh, the music's so good, oh, it's so good, oh, he's so funny. Whatever, these are all carnal delights, and they're sensual, soulish, devilish, and they're not going to bring anybody to Christianity. Stay with me. Let's look at chapter 14. We're going to jump the chapter of love. I'm not doing that because I don't believe in love. I'm doing that because I want to get to a point. Chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Look what my Bible says. Desire them. As a matter of fact, in the King James Version, there's one verse that says, covet earnestly the best gifts. That's 1 Corinthians 12, I think 31. Covet earnestly the best. Covet them. I mean, desire them. But especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks, what's that? Edification. Look at the first thing out of their mouth. Edification. Oikodemeo. He that prophesies is flowing in oikodemeo. And exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue only builds himself. And that's nothing wrong with that. But he who prophesies builds the church. Look at there. He builds the church. We've left the gifts of the Spirit to use pragmatic principles of the world. And the sons of God have married the daughters of the world to grow giant churches that are just carnal Walmarts and carnal Costcos and carnal Sam's Clubs. We just follow worldly CEO principles and fill the building up with unconverted people. That issue of edification is so important. Look what these, now we're talking about under the gifts of the Spirit. Look at the next one. Look at verse 12. I love this one. Watch carefully in verse 12. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Look at there. Zealous of spiritual gifts. Now, I find that this all falls under the category of charismatic Christianity. The charisma. Now, the gifts of grace, the charis, the gift of grace, and all that grace has a gifting to it. It is amazing to me that the modern cessationist has literally took the church and scrubbed it clean from giftings because these don't work anymore. Well, it doesn't work anymore when we've relegated everything to mental swellings, inflated knowledge puffeth up. There are heads full of knowledge that have no ability to work in the giftings of God. This is a problem. This is problematic. We can have a lot of knowledge about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Ghost, about faith, but not have any faith. And that's a problem. We can literally have a doctrine that literally we talk about God, but we deny his power. And that's what this does. I mean, where's the power of God today? And I want to tell you, I believe the fields are ripe to see the power of God. Everybody's tired of mental ascent. Everybody's tired of dead religion. Everybody's tired of soulish hype and whoop-de-doo. I have hype fatigue. I want to tell you, don't try to hype me. I'm like, shut up. I really get bored with the whole thing. Oh, come on, let's go. I'm like, come on, man. This ain't no pep rally. I ain't going to do that. But I get fired up for Jesus. I am zealous for spiritual gifts. Stay with it. This ain't no cessationist right here. I believe the gifts are for today. You ought to say that to yourself. Make that confession somewhere. Say it to you. These gifts, these things still work. Now stay, look at verse 26 of chapter 14. It says, how is it, brethren, when you come together? Each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. What does that mean? Oikodomeo, building the house. Building the house. Now, I make no bones about it. Our churches are house churches. We don't do, we got rid of our buildings, and thank God it was like my chains fell off. My heart was free. I was unshackled from the modern burden of modern CEOing of buildings. I'm just can love Jesus and love God's people and be free to do exactly what the Bible says do. And I don't have to be the CEO. Now we've operated like this in 2006 and we're doing just fine. And so if any of you pastors have ever toyed with this idea and then dismissed it saying it's impossible, we got a lot of years under our belt saying we can do this and it works just fine. So hallelujah. I'm still alive and kicking, still love Jesus. And it's still okay. Now, I want you to see it. You see that edification. Now, I have a word for you. Jesus said, on this rock, I will oikodomeo my church. The church is the body of Christ. He said, I will build my church. I will oikodomeo. Look, this is the flow of the Spirit into the body of Christ. It's not a flow of information. It's not a flow of endless, countless cognitive swappings of information. It is literally the flow of the Holy Spirit moving through God's people. This is what God's people needs in this hour, is the flow, the river of the living God flowing out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Oh, pardon my zeal. How many years is this? 2006 from 23. Does anybody know math in this room? I'm talking 14, 17 years? 17 years with no buildings, folks. Not one program. Oh, I'm almost to tongues right now. Glory be to God. Look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus' gifts that he gives. And let's notice if there's a thread of similarity here. Because you remember, my Bible says God is working all in all. Verse 7, chapter 4 of Ephesians. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, who is that given to? Each one of us, not just to the pastor, not just to a handful of staff members, each one of us. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. A lot of people call these the ascension gifts. I personally believe, without a whole lot of evidence, but I personally believe there was a redistribution in every generation of the Old Testament prophetic gifts. You toy with that as you want to. These are called a sin. When he came up from the dead, he led captivity captive. All the Old Testament saints that died believing that Jesus would come again, he led them captive and he gave gifts. He distributed gifts to men. Come on. You just think on that. All right. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself, who is he? Jesus gave some to be apostles, some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, if that won't get you yabba dabba do working, I don't know what will. Look, he gave gifts to men for equipping the saints. That means these gifted men equip the saints. He said, well, I'm no saint. Well, then you're no Christian. See, saint ain't some super dude that's literally a concrete statue in a Catholic church. Saints are literally hagias. We are the called out ones. We're the called out assembly. We're set apart from the world, set apart to God. That's what sainthood is. It ain't some special title inferred upon somebody we thought was famous. This is literally the average person who is born again in the kingdom of God. Saints of God. Well, I'm no saint. Well, you're no Christian. Your own confession. Well, no, but I'm not perfect. You know, I'm not perfect. Well, then you're no Christian. Now you're getting me mad, Terrell. You're saying you're perfect. Oh, I guess you think you're perfect. That's what I know it's going right through every devil's mind right now. Yeah, I guess you think you're perfect. Look at that beard. Look at your shirt. Look at your hair. You're not perfect. What, you mad? You mean? You mocking me? Mm-hmm. All of that. Glory be to God. That was the demon running through your head. I just had to have a little folly with him. Anyway, stay with this. He gave gifts to men for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the ministry work is for to build up the body of Christ. The church is his body. Are you following this? Edification. With God who's working all in all. His son Jesus Christ came to be the redemption of all mankind. And his shed blood has literally given the way to take away. It's the antidote for sin. He takes away the sin of the world through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we have the new birth and the Spirit of God. We get born again by the Spirit of God. This is the work of the ministry. God the Father wants to birth by his DNA, his word in your heart, give you a new heart, a new spirit. I mean, cleanse you from all your sin, make you a perfect worshiper, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He wants you to be just like a little Jesus right here in the earth. Edifying, building the body. Now, we've all seen bodybuilders in our life. They're everywhere these days. Huh? They pump all that steroid juice up in their cell. Look, I was an old gym rat for a long time. You cannot get that big without something. It's just like, why you swoked up like that? We're doing the same exact thing. Everything. Well, I got this stuff. I just shoot it in there and man, I get big. Oh, okay. I get it. Bodybuilder. They walk around all swoked. They are swoped. They're on steroids. They roid rage and that kind of stuff. Now, we know what bodybuilding in the flesh is like, but very few of us know what bodybuilding in the spirit is like. Because this is the real work of faith with power. I'm talking about dunamis power. It got nothing to do with the strength of your flesh, with the keenness of your mind or your sensitivity of emotion. It's got everything to do with all of the carnal nature being put under the heart of the new birth. That literally everything in your being is subjected to the Spirit of God. You are literally possessed by the Holy Ghost. I love what Smith Wigglesworth says. I remember the day I got the Holy Ghost, and I remember the day the Holy Ghost got me. And that's a big thing, folks. If we, you know, like Ezekiel's vision, when he waded out and he measured out into the river of God, he went 1,000 cubits and it was ankle deep. He went 1,000 more, it was knee deep. He went 1,000 more, it was waist deep. He went 1,000 more and it was a river that could not be crossed. And the deeper we go into the Holy Ghost, the more that we lose, we become buoyant and we lose footing and the Spirit just takes us where He wills. Oh, thank Him. Look, it's as a time we need the Spirit to just begin to sweep some folk away wherever He wills. Now, it's amazing. So many of us were just, a lot of you were like me, just dopers and drinkers, and you were stupid. You were crazy for the devil. But we get to church and we lose all that. We're just, can I talk now? We didn't ask permission for nothing. We just did whatever. Can I speak? Hey, what are we going to do? That's how we talk in church. Don't say that, man. Shh. Shh. You just shushed me. Back when I was before I got saved, you nobody shushed me. Why let them shush me now? Huh? We need some blind Bartimaeuses who refuse shushing. We need some shouters out there who just say, wait, I want Jesus. We want some people who've lost it all. Look, folks, it's time. Look, I'm not telling you to be rebellious. I'm talking about being free in Jesus Christ and break the chains of religious shackles that are on your heart and mind. You are free, more free as a devil than you are as a religious demon. Oh, hallelujah. Stay with me. I want you to see this. So the gifts of the Father, I want you to, John 3, 1 through 8, that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, I know that you're a teacher come from God because nobody can do these miracles that you're doing. And Jesus said, you must be born again. I want you to see it. Born again. There are so many people in church today who have not been born again. As a matter of fact, some preacher lied to you and said, say this prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Amen. That's it. You're born again. No, you're not. There ain't no more born again than the man of the moon. Let me tell you something. When a baby is born, they say, boy, that's a traumatic thing for a mama when a baby's born. Oh, boy, she goes in them labor pains. And have you ever considered that kid? Huh? I tell you what, won't you come over to my house and I got some 4-inch PVC pipe and I'll pull you through it and let's see how traumatic that is. We won't be talking about mamas anymore. He said, they pulled me through that little piece of pipe. The kid come out all head all mashed up, looking all neck. Look how cute that baby. That baby's ugly. That baby been pulled through a pipe. It's traumatic to be born again. When we pass from death to life, it's a trauma to the flesh when we go through the cross and go into the new birth, man. Let's think about the new birth. It's traumatic and it changes you to a spiritual creature. See, God is a father. He's birthing sons and daughters into his kingdom. Glory be to God. Look at Romans chapter 12. Let's visit that passage again. Romans 12, very familiar verse. Almost always used out of context, almost always used for individual personal growth. Nothing wrong too much with that, except the context is a little different. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's a work now. This is a reasonable work. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me. Now there it is, charis, the grace, the gift given to me. I say by the gift of grace to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as who? God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Look at that word, function. We being many are one body in Christ and individually all members of one another. Having then gifts, I won't go, according to the grace that's given us, I won't go into the gifts here. I want you to notice that God is giving gifts and it's initialized at the gift of grace. For by grace are you saved, that's the initial gift, that unspeakable gift, Christ Jesus, the unspeakable gift. For by grace are you saved through the channel of the act of faith. And that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto a good work, which God has ordained, predestined, ordained, that you should walk in the good work. Oh, this is so good. It's in the context of us being individually members of one another in the body of Christ. Same context as 1 Corinthians 12. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I would love to dwell on that, but I'm amazed at how fast time goes, and I really want to get this point into you. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. I just did a long series on Sermon on the Mount. You can go back and look at that on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com. In chapter 5, Jesus' initial sermon, seeing the multitudes, verse 1, he went up on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I'll tell you what you do. Every time it says blessed, hold a finger up. That was the first blessing. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in spirit or heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they shall revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets who were before you. How many blessings did you hold up? Nine blessings. There's nine blessings in the Beatitude. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. There's nine fruits of the Spirit. Now, when we see this three, how long does it take to birth a baby? 9 months. We see the completion, the idea of completion. I believe what we see here in the Sermon on the Mount, the nine blessings that correlate real well with the fruit of the Spirit. If we look at this issue of the nine blessings of the Beatitudes, literally becoming the DNA that the Word of God gets in us and the DNA of the new birth have this blessedness upon it. We are being born again by the Spirit of God. Now, watch what it says. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, in the book of Leviticus chapter 2, it talks about the covenant of salt, that there was a sacrifice and then every sacrifice had the salt thrown on it. See, I believe Jesus is the end of the sacrificial system. And he says, we're the salt of the earth. And so Christ's sacrifice is one thing, but we add the flavor to that sacrifice in our generation. We're the salt of the earth. But if we don't bring flavor to the crucifixion of Christ, then we have literally failed. We're good for nothing but dung. They need to send one of them trucks over there and just suck your, you know, you fit for the septic. That's all. Look at this one. Verse 14, I think. I can't read. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now hold it. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said the lampstand, he interpreted himself. He said the lampstand is the church. Actually, he said the seven lampstands, there was the seven churches of Asia. And so he talks about the church itself right here. Now look. It gives light to all who are in the house. The lampstand gives light to the house. See, I'm talking about understanding this through the idea of house church. To me, none of these verses fit in a traditional worship service. No wonder the gifts have ceased in tradition. It is a perfect environment to not have the Holy Ghost. The house church is where this was designed to function. Whenever we come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Look what it says. Watch carefully. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Wait a minute. What's the good work? Well, see what good work? Let your light shine. What light shining? What? The nine blessings of the Beatitudes. As these things shine out of the new birth, all who see you are going to say, man, God has done a work right there. They're going to glorify God. I know God did that because I knew that person. Huh? You was Debbie Downer. Wah, wah. Now look at you. You're full of life. You were obnoxious. Look at you now. You mourn for the lost. You were a jerk. Look at you now. You're pleasant. You were an arrogant, but now you're humble. Come on, God, get the glory. Come on, can you see this? When we start talking about the gifts of grace, it begins with the new birth and the building of the body of Christ. There's two thoughts in this idea about edification. That number one, it's meant to build up and strengthen each member of the body. Number two, it means to add to the body of Christ by bringing new people in. Both of these call for the gifts of the Spirit to be in full operation. Folks, listen to me carefully. I'm sick and tired of trying to talk anybody into anything. I ain't trying to reason with nobody right now. Everybody's so smart, they know it all. You say, let me tell you about, do you hear a person cussing drink? Oh, man, we got so drunk last night. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, I'm Christian. Really? Man, me and my girlfriend, we shacked up, man. We're so great. Hey, man, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. You can't fornicate. I'm a Christian. Try to talk to that. It's time for power. I ain't talking about nothing. I'm talking about power. The kingdom of God is not in words, but power. It's time to see the work of God and the work of faith in power. And it's faith that works by love. Oh, that's about the other thing. The cessationists say, there ain't no more work. You said works. You're of the devil. What? I got one more passage I'm going to share with y'all. Colossians. I might be straining to put this one in. I just got to put it in there. Colossians. It got so good to me earlier. I just couldn't believe it. Yes, I can. I'm a man of faith. Colossians chapter 1. We touched base on this verse a little bit last week. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Come on. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Here we go. He is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. Wait a minute. He said the church is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead? Did He just say that? You know, my Bible says in Ephesians, it says, and you who were dead in trespass and sin, you has He quickened or made alive. You see, the church, we were the dead folks who God raised from the dead. I was dead in sin and God raised me from the dead. I'm alive now. I thought I was the life of the party. I was the life of the, I was going to hell. But now God has put life inside of me. I'm alive by His word. I'm alive. And by His Spirit, the law, a higher law has gotten into me. And it ain't the law of works. It's the law, the royal law of love. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is the law of faith. Stay with me. Keep reading. For it, the firstborn from the dead, He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and to Him, and by Him to be reconciled all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through His death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now here's where we get to what I want to show you. I just had to read it in context. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul said, whatever I go through, I do it for the church. Whatever afflictions I go through is for the body of Christ. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for to you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what a revelation. The mystery hidden for the ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointed one in you, the hope of glory. What glory? The glory, look, God told Moses, as surely as I live, the whole earth will be filled with my glory. Do you know how God will fill the earth with his glory? By filling you and me with his glory. By taking you from death and bringing you back to life, putting his gifts inside of you, and you shining for him, reflecting his glory in the earth. Come on, man. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And when the full reward of glory is, even if you're dead in a tomb, God will raise you from the dead and give you a new life in Christ. He'll give you a new body that will endure eternal bliss with Jesus in glory. Come on, man. Glory be to God. Now watch. Here's the verse I wanted to get to. To them, God will to make known what are the riches of his glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So the gifts of ministry is to present every person in the body of Christ perfect in Christ Jesus. Full grown, mature according to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I will never, ever, as long as I draw breath, as long as I call myself a minister, ever quit trying to strive for the perfection of every saint. I will not take the bottom rung of the ladder as success. I want every man perfect. I'm striving and laboring. Watch what he says. Look, here it is. Here's the thing. To this end, I also labor. That word labor is grievous right here. You read this in the Greek. You go read it. To labor. This is hard work. Striving. That don't sound like Christian. But he's striving. I'm laboring and striving. I totally get this verse. According to his working. God's working, which works in me mightily. Folks, let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost gets inside of a man, my Bible says that he has redeemed work. He has created me in Christ Jesus unto a good work. And the ergon of God, the working of God, the working of resurrection power inside of the Christian. He gives you a supernatural ability. In your spirit, you begin to work. He said, he who waits upon the Lord shall mount up with the wings of eagles. He will renew his youth. He'll run and not grow weary. He'll walk and not faint. Let me tell you something. There's something inside of me. It's growing every day. It gets stronger and stronger. By the body might look weaker and weaker, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is stronger and stronger. And when his work is working mightily inside of me, oh, the flesh wears out. Let it rip, buddy. I'll be spent and spend it all up for the working. His working mightily in me. My body might protest, but it's got no choice. Get up, old tired bones. We're going to do what God says to you. We're going to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to get to the actual gifts of the Spirit next week. I hope y'all will come back. Well, we had to put all this in a little context because it ain't just so we can sit around talking in tongues to each other. There's a point to this. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.